The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. The first to plead his case seems just until another comes and examines him. You may be seated. Let's pray. Oh Lord, as we come before you, Lord, and we look at your word, and Lord, we see our weaknesses. Lord, I pray that as we look at the Proverbs now, that you would teach us, Lord, that you would first humble us, Lord, that you would convict us of sin in our lives, that you would show us where we have been the fool, and Lord, that you would instruct us, that you would open our eyes to see the truth, to see your wisdom. Lord, that we might live our lives that bring more glory to you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would teach us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, once again, in Proverbs, we see quite the variety of lessons. In these three verses, we see three different lessons. The first verse, we will see how the Lord has not given us a blind faith, but he gives us a faith that our mind can understand. And then we also see that this is just the beginning of the wise man pursuing the knowledge of God. And then in the second verse, we will see how God sometimes blesses us through our blessing others in giving gifts. We see the favor that one can receive by giving good gifts to others. And then in the third verse, we're given instructions on how to judge wisely. We're reminded here that oftentimes things are not as they first appeared. So as we go through these verses, you know, oftentimes as we go through these Proverbs, I try to give a few examples, and yet the applications are endless as we go through the Proverbs. And so as we go through here, understand there's so many more applications than what I'm going to point out. And it's my prayer that as we go through here, that the Lord would convict each of us, that he would show you the areas, the applications that you need in your life, so that these principles you can apply where you need them. And so may God, through his word and through his spirit, convict us all, each of us this morning, in those areas that we need it. So let's begin with verse 15. The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Here we see that the wise man knows God, and he spends the rest of his life pressing on to know him more. First, the mind of the prudent acquires knowledge. Now, first notice the prerequisite here. Okay, it does not say the mind of a fool acquires knowledge. It doesn't even say the mind of a man acquires knowledge. But the mind of the prudent acquires knowledge. You see, the prerequisite to learn is that you must be prudent. You must first have an understanding heart in order to acquire knowledge. And of course, this comes only from the Lord. Apart from God, we would never acquire knowledge, nor would we ever even seek for it. But we see here that this acquiring knowledge involves the mind. This is not some thoughtless, emotional experience. The mind is involved. The mind is engaged. You know, a few weeks ago, Carl made a great point that's worth mentioning again in the call to worship. He mentioned that in the call, we are not called to worship. We are called to worship by the truth of God's word. By His word, by His truth, it prompts us, it calls us to worship Him. Not by singing some fluffy feel-good song that makes us feel spiritual, that gives us this warm emotional feeling. And the same is true when it comes to acquiring knowledge. It is with our mind that we acquire knowledge. In other words, we are thinking, we are understanding, and we are believing. Now, just to clarify, I'm not trying to take all of the emotions, all of the heart out of this. In fact, some versions use the word heart here in this verse in place of the word mind. But the point that I'm trying to make, the point that I think is here in this verse, is that acquiring knowledge, growing in wisdom, is not some insecure, blind faith. It's not all about what you feel. For example, God is good. But it's one thing to think that God is good, because I just feel the goodness of the Lord today. It's another thing to know that God is good. To know that God is good because you know God. And regardless of how you feel this day, you know God. And you remember the testimonies all throughout Scripture of the goodness of God. You see, the prudent reads God's word and he understands. Certainly not completely, not everything, but he understands. He doesn't read the Bible and say, well, I don't understand any of it, but I guess it's true. That's not what goes on. So it is with the mind that the prudent acquire knowledge. They understand. They believe. Second half of the verse, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. So the wise man with his mind acquires knowledge, and with his ears he seeks knowledge. Now you may think that this verse has it backwards. I mean, don't you seek before you acquire? But we know from Romans 3 and other passages that there is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. So no, it's not backwards. We have been given knowledge that we were not seeking, and given a hunger for it that we might press on to seek it more and more. So first of all, notice one characteristic here of the wise man. Those who are wise never think of themselves as being wise enough. But the wiser a man is, the more he sees his need of more wisdom. And so this seeking and searching for knowledge is a lifelong pursuit for the wise man. He has a hunger for more. He never feels like his education is complete. And this humble, hungry attitude is really the driving motivation behind his pursuit of more knowledge. He realizes that there is so much more to learn. And he doesn't just want to know a little bit about Jesus, but he loves Christ. And he desires to know Christ better and to grow more and more in the true knowledge of him. So this is the attitude, this is the desire behind the seeking that we see in this verse. The ear of the wise seeks knowledge. This is simply speaking of listening and learning. Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. So the wise man listens. But really, the emphasis here is on the seeking, and not so much on the details of how you got it, whether you heard it or saw it or read it, but the fact that your eyes are open, your ears are open, you're alert, you're purposefully looking for knowledge. You see, it's the fool who sits back, who says, oh, wisdom is just something that comes to you with age. I mean, I don't need to put forth any effort. I mean, the older you get, the wiser you get. I mean, everybody knows that. But that's the fool. The wise man is persistent in his pursuit of the things of God. He seeks knowledge. He seeks to grow in the knowledge of God through whatever opportunities he comes across. And there are many opportunities. But let me just remind you of two. And these are nothing new. Just two reminders. First, God's Word. We're so blessed to have God's Word. We have it in our own language. We have multiple copies. It's readily available. We must not squander the opportunity to read God's Word, to grow in our knowledge of Him. I'm going to read a few verses here from Psalm 119, but just listen to all of the blessings that are attributed to knowing God's Word. Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thy commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed thy precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep thy word. I have not turned aside from thine ordinances, for thou thyself hast taught me. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. You see, the reading of God's written word is one of the greatest opportunities we have to grow in knowledge. One other example, God's people. Listen to God's people. What a great opportunity we have when we are in fellowship with brothers and sisters. You see, because I probably haven't been reading in Scripture the same passages this week that you have, and I don't have the same experiences, we don't have the same perspective, and so as we visit with each other and we consider the things of the Lord, we have so much to gain from each other. We can learn so much from each other. So consider this verse. We do not serve an unknown God, but God reveals Himself to us in His Word. So let us press on to know Him. And instead of seeking spiritual experiences and fuzzy feelings, may we seek to grow in the true knowledge and understanding of our Lord. May we not squander the opportunities He gives us to grow in knowledge. The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Verse 16, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Here we see the power of gifts. We see how at times the giver of a gift can be shown great favor and end up receiving benefits from those he gave the gift to. Now, this proverb has many settings, many applications, but I want to begin with giving you one example to start out with. Now, this isn't the best example, okay, but I think that it will help us to begin to understand what this verse is speaking of. Okay, and I'm using this example because it shows, I believe, what type of gift this verse is speaking of. So turn with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel 17. Now here, this is where Jesse is about to send David to check on his brothers, take him some food, see how the battle is going with the Philistines. So let's read verse 17 and 18. Then Jesse said to David, his son, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this roasted grain and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to your brothers. Bring also these 10 cuts of cheese to the commander of their 1,000, and look into the welfare of your brothers, and bring back news of them." So here we see that Jesse sends David to check on his brothers, but we see here that he sends David with a gift for the commander. Now, this gift that was sent was not owed the commander. It was also not a gift given with the purpose of gaining something in return. This was just a courtesy, just a thoughtful, innocent gift, a kind gesture. So consider this in light of this verse in Proverbs 18, verse 16. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. So we see here that David brought this gift to the commander. And this is what this verse in Proverbs is speaking of. But what makes this not the best example is that that's about as far as it goes. We don't see any details really here about whether the commander really loved the gift and then in return showed David favor because of it. So we don't see those details. But you can see what's going on here in giving this gift. So a gift can make room for you. It may give you opportunity to plead your case before great men, or any other number of ways that they may show favor to you. So a man's gift makes room for him. It gives opportunity. It opens a door that otherwise would have been closed. Now you may say, isn't this bribing? I mean, isn't this wrong? And the answer is no. This is completely different from bribing. Now, there's always potential for corruption. And yes, motives are always a factor in giving gifts. And we'll get to that in a minute. But first, understand to begin with in this verse that here, this observation that's made here in this proverb is good. This is good. This is not a negative observation, but a positive one. Here we see kindness, we see generosity, we see blessing and favor. This is not a warning or a rebuke of evil, but rather an observation that encourages what is good. So let's deal with the motive issue to begin with. First of all, gifts in and of themselves are good. It is a good thing to be generous, to show kindness in giving gifts. The problem comes in when we have selfish motives. Our motive in giving a gift should always be to bless the receiver of the gift. A gift should always be given with selfless motives. But even though the goal is to bless the one we're giving the gift to, that does not mean that the giver of the gift will never benefit from giving the gift. Nor does it mean that your motives were evil if you do receive favor because of a gift you gave. Listen to Proverbs 11:25. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. You see, this isn't a bad thing. This is a good thing. This isn't speaking of evil. You see, it isn't that I gave generously because I wanted to prosper or because I wanted others to give back to me again. But when we show favor and we give gifts with pure motives, we should not be surprised when we, the giver, are blessed as well. What we see here is really a natural thing. I mean, when someone gives you a great gift, it affects your relationship with that person. It's natural that you would have greater affections for them, that you would have a greater desire to bless them and to show them favor in return. So as we consider this verse, may we always, always check our motives. But then, let us not hold back. Let us give, and give good gifts. And don't be surprised or feel guilty if you are shown favor in return. This is part of your reward. This is the blessing of God for showing kindness and generosity to others. Again, it is not our goal, but it's just an added blessing that we will sometimes see when we give gifts. So a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Verse 17. The first to plead his case seems just until another comes and examines him. Here we're reminded that there's always two sides to every story. And so when you find yourself judging a case, be sure not to be hasty in your judgment. This verse teaches us many of the same principles that we saw in verse 13. In that we need to seek to understand. We need to gather all the information we can before coming to a conclusion. Verse 13, don't be hasty in giving an answer. And here, don't be hasty in deciding a verdict. Now this verse speaks of pleading a case and then another coming and cross-examining. Now this refers to a courtroom type setting, although the applications go far beyond the courtroom. There are many applications, many areas this applies, such as parenting. You know, on many occasions I've had a child come to me to plead their case. And you know, I mean, it seems so clear. I mean, there was a good guy and it was them. And there was a bad guy, and it was their brother. And it all seems so cut and dry. I mean, one guy did everything right, and the other guy did everything wrong. It just seems so clear. But it isn't as it first appears, is it? You see, then I have to examine the story. I have to ask questions. I need to bring their brother in and get his side and ask him questions and investigate and find out that oftentimes the first story was not the whole story. It wasn't until he was examined that the truth came to light. Now, this verse shows us many things about people in general. First of all, we are biased. We are oftentimes blind to our own sin. And everyone argues their case to their own advantage. And so you can see here our great need for unbiased judges to decide our cases. And so this verse is directed towards all those in positions of judging, those who are trying to decide the case between others. Now, you may not feel like you're in that position today, but you will be sooner or later. And so listen and learn from this verse. Some of the key words that we see in this verse are first, seems, and until. You see, the first to plead his case seems just until another comes and examines him. You see, the reality is that things are oftentimes not the way they first appeared. And so it is here that the first to plead his case seems just, it seems right, but it isn't. It just seems that way because you haven't heard the rest of the story. You don't know all the details yet. You see, the first story is not the complete story. So it seems just, even though it isn't. So at first, things appear inaccurately. But when will all of this be made clear? When will you be able to see what really happened? Second half of the verse begins, until another comes and examines him. Not until he is examined. Not until the first guy's story is questioned and looked at carefully. Before that, the truth is still hidden. You see glimpses of it, but it's not all there. It's not all out in the open. But once he is examined, then you can see accurately what really happened. Then you see the rest of the story, and you can judge correctly. So remember, the first story is oftentimes not the whole story. And although it seems so right, you won't know what's really right until you examine. So the point here, don't be gullible. Don't automatically believe the first thing you hear, but examine the facts. Ask questions. Investigate. And then once you have the whole story, you'll be able to judge correctly. The first to plead his case seems just until another comes and examines him. So in conclusion, like I said, this is quite the variety in these Proverbs this morning. But we can see here just a few ways that God is blessing us. You know, God has taken sinful man. We're seeking our own glory, doing our own thing, going our own way. And God gives us true knowledge. And he gives us a hunger for knowledge. God is so good to us. We also saw how God rewards us at times and blesses us as we have sought to bless others in giving them gifts. And we see that it's very important to God that we judge correctly, that we not be hasty and make foolish mistakes. And so he instructs us the importance of examining thoroughly before deciding. So may God use these instructions in our lives. May He teach us and grow us in wisdom, that we would be more like Christ, that we would honor and glorify Him more and more with our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for these instructions. Lord, we thank You for Your wisdom. Lord, we acknowledge that apart from You, this is not us. Lord, we see, even today, all of our inclinations to run with the first thing we hear and not due diligence in examining the matters. Lord, we thank You for the knowledge of You. We thank You for the knowledge, for the wisdom that You are working in us. And Lord, we thank You that You have given us a hunger for Your Word. Lord, that we are not content to just know a little bit of You and Your truth, but that we desire to know You more, to learn, to grow in our understanding of You. And Lord, we pray that You would bless us, that You would guide us as we seek You more and more. Lord, that in all of these instructions in Proverbs, that we would grow to be more like Christ, that You would use us, Lord, in the lives of those around us, that You would teach us, that You would humble us. Lord, that in all of this, that we would bring more glory to You. In Jesus' name, amen.